This is Stacey Marshall with Printwear Magazine.
Matt Vassallo with TheRhinestoneWorld.com.
Richard Greaves with ScreenMaking.com.
Brian Walker with RTP Apparel.
This is Peter Walsh with M&R, and you're listening to the Two Regular Guys Podcast.
Podcast.
Hosted by
Terry Combs.
And
Aaron Montgomery.
Keep on listening.
I don't know if these guys are that regular.
Music by Mike Clark and Bird Room Music. For more information, visit birdroommusic.com.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. It is Friday, July 23rd, 2021. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me at oursuccessgroup.com. Today, Terry and I are going to be talking about managing customer expectations. Certainly easier said than done, but with some work in advance and just kind of clearly sharing what needs to happen and why, we can kind of make everybody happy. So excited to talk with Terry about that today. And Terry and I are kind of both customer service geeks. So should be a good time here today, Terry, don't think?
Exactly. Hey, Aaron, where are you, man?
Well, I am at the Appliqué Getaway. And
Appliqué Getaway.
Appliqué Getaway, Terry's favorite show name. And I'm actually in my hotel room. So far, so good on the internet. But hey, you know, there's always some fun that's going to have to happen. So we'll see how that goes. But excited to be here and get a chance to chat about this. So, Terry, let's talk a little news here real quick. I put a little news. I felt like it would be really awkward for me to read my own press release. So
I see that. I'm happy to read this for you.
Thank you.
All right. Our success group releases a new online business growth training module experience. And I think I participated in writing a little promo for that.
Yeah.
Our success group recently announced a brand new resource for small businesses starting their business or ready to grow with a strong foundation of business success principles. The five keys of business success, growing and launching, there it is, online training for all you podcast listeners. Aaron is doing show and tell there on the camera. The experience includes over 5 hours of training videos broken down into 5 to 20 minute bite-sized crunches that are easy to follow along and to take action immediately. The 25 specific detailed modules cover 5 key areas of a business, including knowing all of your numbers, pricing per profit, workflow and organization, delivery and follow-up, plus the marketing foundation. All things we talk about here on Two Regular Guys on a regular basis.
Indeed.
Included in these 5 keys and 25 modules, there are 26 action steps you can take at the end of each module. These action steps are designed to give business owners the tools needed to work on their foundation for success and put their training to work immediately. And there's a link, oursuccessgroup.com/5, the number 5 keys, because we always do the numbers here at 2, the number 2 Regular Guys.
We have to do the numbers. Nice. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Terry. I didn't put in the quote that you so nicely gave to us because I felt that would have then been awkward too. And we're awkward enough without all that. So, all right, Terry, well, I've got a little bit of news here, but let's check in with some regulators first before I share mine. So we've got Todd checking in here this morning. Good morning to Todd and good morning to Richard. And Eric in the comments as usual. So thanks and making it all happen in the background. So thanks very much, Eric. And Martha Taylor here at Appliqué Getaway too, I believe. So I will see her later today. Looking forward to that. And good morning, Kim Johnson. How are you?
Hey, I have to throw a comment in here. Kim said to me this morning, hey, don't repeat any of your stories today. So I've got nothing to add.
Today. Like at what level of repeating, like how far back can we go? Cause you know,
if we could have one regulator say, hey, I'm new here. I haven't heard any of Terry's stories, then I'll be good to go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Kim, I apologize, but that is definitely not happening. We will definitely hear a story that Terry's told us before. Chuck, good morning. And Letty checking in. Good morning. Our good friend, Jesse Martinez, joining us. Good morning, Two Regular Guys. I think he's saying that tongue in cheek, Terry. I'm not sure. about that.
Jesus Martinez.
Yes. Jesse, good to see you. And David Gross and Amanda, thank you guys so much for being here. Appreciate that. All right, Terry. So like I said, I had a quick news item as well that I saw that I thought was kind of interesting. And if you guys have news items, you have things coming up, you have things you want to have announced or whatnot, just reach out to us. You can find us on social media, Two Regular Guys, the number Two Regular Guys, or you can send us an email. It's just info, I-N-F-O, at tworegularguys.com. But I saw this in Graphics Pro Magazine, and it said Color Reel secures $8.1 million in private placement. So Color Reel is a Swedish company that offers on-demand thread dyeing technology. They raised 70 million Swedish, which equates to 8.1 million US, in private placement to existing and new shareholders. The funding will support the company's market expansion and growth and initiate expansion into new application areas like sewing. So Eric's got a link down there that you can go to check that out at bit.ly there. And then it will also be in the show notes if you want to go read the full press release about that. So
I've always Aaron, I was thinking that Two Regular Guys might need $8.1 million in private placement money. So if anybody's interested, we can.
Yeah, just to make sure that that's out there, of course, because we'll need to expand into new markets. And let's see, what else would we do with that kind of money?
We could get a real couch instead of that inflatable couch for trade shows.
Man, that would be awesome. All right. Well, our inflatable couch is pretty darn cool anyway, so Terry, so I think we're good. Terry, I found that interesting because I think the technology is interesting. I know I've talked to Eric about it, and Eric's kind of mentioned, in fact, we may talk a little bit about it on the half later on. Not that we have an agenda, but hey, throwing it out there, that maybe it wasn't quite ready for prime time, but you know, $8.1 million will get you a lot of ready in a lot of the places. So it's hard to, we'll see. So
like Tim Buck Three said, 50 thou a year will buy a lot of beer.
That's right. So Dale said the Venus fly couch. Yeah, it is a little bit hard to get out of.
That's excellent.
Yeah, very, very good. Very good. All right, Terry. Well, that's the new stuff. I know we've got a lot to talk about here when it comes to customer expectations. You know, I think this is a fun subject, and I'm really excited to hear thoughts and ideas and sharing from all the regulators as well. But
definitely,
let's finish up the housekeeping, and then we can get into that, Terry.
Okay. Well, are you ready for a dad joke?
Of course. Let's do it.
All right.
But
because you read ahead and thought,
I did. Get your grind on. All right, let's do it.
All right, Aaron, did you hear about the guy who proposed to his girlfriend at the gym and she said no?
I didn't hear about that guy.
Yeah, that didn't work out for all the podcast listeners. The workout one word.
See, that's why I was trying to skip it. That was very good, Terry. Very good. I love a good dad joke. I've actually started putting cartoons into my slides for presentations now too. So
wow. You know, that you funny you say that. I was last night I was working on my DAX Chicagoland presentation, and it's a 3.5 hour seminar. So right in the middle, you know, I have a potty break. So I dropped in a picture of the, remember the old, let's go out to the lobby. The little French fries, a little drink, the little hot dog walking across the screen. That's my slide break time.
That's awesome. I love it. There you go. Perfect.
All right, Aaron, before we dive into the subject today, we want to thank everybody for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. We are always looking for new guests. If you or anyone you know would like to join us, you can go to calendly.com/2 Regular Guys with your show ideas. And we are always looking for new ideas for the show. Not that we've run out, but you know, we've done this over 400 times. So
411 today.
Yeah. Wow. If you're listening to the podcast version of our show, we would appreciate you sharing the Two Regular Guys with your industry friends right now so they can become regulators too. We would appreciate you giving us a review. This is really important to us as a show, and we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or wherever you are, you do your podcast listening. If you're watching us live right now, especially today, we want to hear your comments and questions. And with that, let's hear a word from OSG.
Well, actually, Terry, we're gonna skip that today because we had
that. Oh, we are? Sorry. It doesn't say that in the outline.
I know. I did it in the private chat here instead of the outline. My bad. So we're gonna skip that today. I again appreciate that. And if people do want to check out our new program, it's oursuccessgroup.com/5keys. And I actually just wanted to take this quick moment. And like you said, not that we've run out of show ideas, but we need new guests. We've kind of hit that wall a little bit there. And so again, if you or anybody you know would be a good guest or would like to come on the show to talk about whatever you think is going to help the industry, that there's, and here's what I've discovered, Terry. A lot of people have a lot of really good information and they just don't realize it. So, you know, if you're thinking, hey, maybe I should jump on a podcast. Well, Two Regular Guys is the perfect place to do that because we just here to have a little bit of fun and share as much information as we can. So speaking of have a little bit of fun, Todd said that joke was worth the wait. W-E-I-G-H-T. Yeah, so the follow-up dad joke. I like it. and then Letty said, funny, that joke might not carry a lot of weight. So I missed that one earlier.
Everybody's jumping in on that. Nice.
And then cue the sad trombone from Eric. Yes, definitely. Cue the sad trombone. So anyways, real quick, just make sure that you guys are reaching out. You can use that Calendly link at calendly.com/2regularguys just to grab a Friday. And so we're excited to talk to some new folks and see what else is happening out there in the industry.
Absolutely correct, Aaron. And I think when you said that a lot of people have information they don't realize is good information to share, you'd be surprised that you know, just some little twist on what you do in your business would be of great interest to our listeners and to you and I.
So. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I think a lot of ways it will help you as a business as well, being able to kind of, you know, when you've got to go on camera and talk about what you do, it makes you really get clear about it and right. Kind of, you know, learn, embeds it a little bit more. You know, I know for me, I've found that the more I teach stuff and the more I share stuff, the better I get at it. So it's been a real interesting experience, and all thanks to doing this Two Regular Guys thing for 410 episodes, Terry.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Well, Terry, let's get into this. Let's start talking about we're gonna maybe be on time, or I'm sure I'll stretch it out somehow. But let's talk about setting customer expectations. So I guess the first question is, Terry, do you set the expectations for your customers, or do they set the standards for the quality and the delivery and the product? And I think, you know, unfortunately for a lot of folks, Terry, that answer is they set it, right? And I think we as business owners need to realize that we've got to take charge of the what, the when, the where, and the why of those customer expectations and for them to feel good about it. So Terry, let's just start there. Where do we need to start when we start thinking about setting customer expectations as opposed to the demands being placed on us?
You know, many years ago, I worked for a company called Crown Favor in Columbus, Ohio, and we sold exclusively in the fraternity and sorority marketplace. I've talked about it here before. So, oh, that's right. I'm out.
You're not supposed to tell that story. All right, go ahead.
but you know, we had sales reps all over the country who would go out and call on fraternities and sororities, and I always remember one sales rep. We had like 12 different colors of polos, and this guy would call me all the time saying, "Hey, you know, if we had purple, we could I could get this order today." And I'm like, we have 12 other colors to choose from. And I said, you know, listen, if every day you run into somebody that wants purple, we'll add it to the line. But in the meantime, this is what I said to him. And I said, sell what we got, not what we don't got. Yeah. And I said, all the other sales rep, we have a 54-page catalog, man. Every day you call me and there's something else that you want to sell to the customer that's not in that 54-page catalog. And so it was a situation where he was allowing the customer to dictate what products that we are going to sell. And everybody knows this. If you have a line of products, you've already have them sourced. You probably have inventory. But if you let the customer kind of like willy-nilly pick other items that they want to buy from you, you're going to spend all your time. It's hard enough to find product now, much less adding other exactly. products that you don't have. So, you know, I'm going to give another example from what I teach about estimating production time and that sort of thing. I always say, if you say to a customer, a customer comes in and says to you, you know, I'd like this order of shirts. And if your response is, when do you need them? Then you're not scheduling production. You're not setting the expectations. You are allowing the customer to dictate your production schedule, as opposed to saying, okay, I can have these according to my schedule. I can have these next week on Tuesday. Please come by in the afternoon. Worst case scenario, you call them on Monday and say, hey, these shirts are done. But if you allow people to say, okay, well, I don't really need them. They're saying that under the breath, but it'd be cool if I had those on Friday. I don't really need them till Tuesday, but it'd be cool if I had them on Friday. Well, then you're juggling your schedule, juggling what you do, and you can't be efficient if you are juggling your production schedule. So yeah. that was a long answer to a short question. So
exactly. Well, Terry, let's unpack that a little bit though. You actually had two areas there. And so let's go back and unpack that first part a little bit more, where you're talking about, you know, selling what you have. And I think what happens for folks is, yeah, they want that sale and they're not confident enough in what they're doing to, you know, again, this is our line. This is helping, you know, being consultative with the customer, helping them understand that, you know, yes, you may think that you want this purple in your example there or whatever, that you need this product. I mean, heck, I've made this mistake personally in a business that I ran. It was like, oh, what do you need? Okay, cool. I'll get that for you. And then I'd go and get it. But to get it, to be able to resell it, I had to get more than one, right? And so I'd end up with inventory that I couldn't sell because only one person needed that, but I was trying to be everything to everybody. And I ended up being nothing to nobody because at that point I had inventory I couldn't sell, didn't have a clear understanding of what it was that I wanted to do. So I think that's where you got to look at first is kind of understand, okay, what is it that you are going to do? What is it that you're going to be? And like you said, Terry, it's fine to listen to the customers and if there's a trend to then build into that, but to just go and say, okay, what do you need today? And then try to like chase that down. Oh, and then I got to figure out how to make it. And then I got to, you know, all of the lead up and trial and error to get your production process down for you to make one thing that, you know, unless there's a big demand for that or potential future demand, that the customer can participate in being a part of too, I think would be another area. So I'll let you kind of jump in on that in just one second. Let me just take that one bit further. Because when I talk about, you know, letting the customer participate in that ramp up, we've all had the customer that comes to you and says, you know, I've got the best idea. I just need a couple shirts and then we're going to sell bazillions of these, right? Thousands of them.
I have the greatest t-shirt idea ever.
Yeah, exactly. and you know, sometimes we're like, well, this guy seems believable. This lady seems believable. We can let's try it out. But at the same time, you end up being the one making all the investment in this, right? And that's where, so I've always looked at it from this vantage point, like, okay, cool. You want that. You say you can sell a lot of them. So give me some projections. And not that we're going to hold you to those projections, but under my breath, I'm saying, but I'm going to hold you to those projections. And then, you know, okay, so to get this going, we've got to, you know, source in X number. So I need you to at least guarantee me that number. And, you know, if you want to get some samples and stuff done, cool, let's do that. I'll charge you for the samples. And then once you're ready to place your production orders, we'll credit you back for those samples. Right. So getting the customer involved in making that investment into whatever it is that they're trying to sell you. Yeah, because that's what's happening. You're either getting sold or you're selling to them. So, right. Terry, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, exactly. 100%. You know, I was talking to a business owner here just this past week, and I was super impressed because he said, my niche market's very focused. He said, I only sell products into the cornhole sport industry. And he does backpacks and he does the bags to carry the boards. And he does all these products that are outside of the board and the bag of cornhole. If anybody doesn't know what cornhole is, it's on ESPN. In fact, he's been on ESPN talking about it, but he goes, yeah, you know, I've got my buddies and we all deal with this. I've got my buddies that will, that'll come to me and say, hey, I need 10 shirts for this. I only do cornhole. And I'm like, he's like, that alleviates so many problems for me. I don't do that. I can't do your softball team. You know why? Cause I only do cornhole. Yeah. He's very successful, but very, very focused. And you got to admire somebody that will do that because, man, it is so easy to get sucked into doing a little bit of this over here and a little bit of this over there. And, you know, especially when you're looking for business, it gets easy to get pulled off track. But, very impressed with that whole thing, but
yeah. With that, like I said, when you mentioned getting pulled off track there, I mean, I think that is exactly what happens is we get pulled off track and we think that, okay, because we need more business that we're going to go chase those opportunities. But while you're out there chasing those opportunities, you're not focused on your niche market. You're not continuing to put your message out there. You're not continuing to get feedback and refine. And, you know, so the cornhole guy is a great example, right? I'm focused on cornhole. I'm going to be the best in that space. I know everything that they need and I'm going to stay focused on that. And like you said, he becomes very successful, but a lot of us sit and look at the situation and go, well, you know, I've got to equipment payment to make or whatever. And so I've got to go chase whatever I can find. And you got to figure out a way to not do that. I think that's just at the end of the day, if you can avoid that, stay focused, you're going to be way better off.
Well, and you know, Aaron, you said it when you said, and he knows what they need. That is the secret of niche market selling anyway. You're hyper-focused on that marketplace and you understand that marketplace. You know everything there is to know about that marketplace. You know everything there is to know about that customer. And the customers can see that. They can read it. As soon as you say something off track, then they're like, oh, you don't really know me. You don't really know my marketplace.
Yeah, yeah. And he's going to them and instead of saying, okay, well, what do you need? He's going to them and he's probably saying, here's what you need. And they go, oh, okay. Yep. You're right. Here's my blank check.
Perfectly said. Here's what you need. Here's what you need. Well, and that's from the sales side. And I'll go back to, and yes, it's a pet peeve of mine, Aaron, that when can I get the shirts?
Can we bring in Brian's comment before you get there? Because
yeah.
It plays right into this. So Brian said, I asked when they need it to be able to set expectations. Me, when do you need it? The customer says, I need it in 2 days. Me, sorry, that's not possible. So again, I know that's a pet peeve, but yeah, I get the being able to set the expectations, but yeah, give us some more on that, Terry.
Well, yeah, it's just, and you know, from a production standpoint, so we're over here in the sales department. Now we're over in the production department. you know, I have gone into so many businesses as a consultant and as a production or a plant manager, when the sales department was setting the standard. They were saying, okay, this order needs to be done by this time, this order needs to be done by that time. And it was chaos on the production floor. And I remember talking to somebody who was out putting orders on the schedule board, and I said, so who determines the dates on these orders? Oh, the sales manager. And I'm like, oh, well, that's going to have to end today. She's like, what? Well, the, you know, a production manager has to maintain the schedule, because a production manager can group like orders. A production manager knows, I mean, there's 24 hours in a day. There's not a sales manager on the planet who understands that. No offense to all the sales managers out there.
Hey, no, I hurt my feelings.
I know that you'll be playing golf with your customer on Saturday. I don't want to be here printing his shirts on Saturday if I don't have to. So you know, as a production manager, you know, you've got your schedule, you're filling it out. And I think that a customer is going to be impressed when you say, my available time for this order will be next Tuesday, and we will have it for you. Give me a call lunchtime, but you should be able to pick them up right after. And it also gives an air to the customer of organization and efficiency. This, you know, when you say, okay, when do you need them? Okay, well, I'll be working all night. Like, you know, that's what screen printers and decorators do. But I think when you tell a customer, this is when your order will be ready, I think that it instills some confidence in them that you probably know what you're doing.
Yeah. So Terry, can you then talk to Brian's comment a little bit about, you know, kind of that ask? You know, his ask is not because he's not got his arms around his production schedule, just kind of to set the expectation, but I agree with what you're saying. You're telling them this is when it's going to be available, you know. So how do you, like, for example, how do you respond when, you know, like, okay, well, these will be ready next Tuesday, and they're like, oh man, I really need these by Friday?
Well, when I schedule production, I leave about 20% of my production schedule open, because we all have that customer that we want to satisfy. You know, if Disney calls you up and says, hey, we need this fill-in order, and Terry, is there any way you can ship it tomorrow? Guess what? I'm gonna fit it into the schedule. What I've always done in larger production shops where there's a sales staff, there's a sales manager, I would always give 10% of the schedule. And yes, Kim, I've talked about this before. I would always give 10% of the schedule to the sales manager, because sales manager is always going to walk in and say, hey, this is really an important customer. And so 10% of that production schedule was his to fill if he chose to. And so he knew. And hey, as soon as it went over 10%, I was, okay, whose order would you like me to replace? You want to move this order into the schedule. Who here do you want me to move back in the schedule? Because there's only a certain number of hours in the day. But yes, absolutely. You do need to ask your customer. I mean, if it's an event, and they've waited to the last minute, you know, you certainly want to satisfy all your customers. You can't always satisfy all your customers, but I think it's important to say, just like Brian said, you know, well, what's your time frame on this event or whatever. Sure, but sure. But I allow for that space.
Yeah. So yeah. No, that's perfect. And Kim's trying to basically shut down two regular guys if she's not going to let you tell these stories anymore, Terry. I don't know. We need to have a chat. But but Letty says a production manager should be determining if there is wiggle room for an expedite, and if you can, then a fee should be assessed to accommodate the shuffle. So
I have no problem with that. One reason I like to have a rush fee or a rush charge is so I can waive it. Yeah. And normally there's a $50 rush charge, but hey, you're a good customer. I want to help you out. I'm going to just waive that fee.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%, Terry, that idea. I mean, heck, you can think about all of the stuff that you can do. And this really, to me, ties into setting those customer expectations kind of across the board, you know, an art fee, a digitizing fee, you know, you're not trying to nickel and dime them to death, but if you have set some of these things in as standard, this rush fee, then like you said, you're giving yourself an opportunity to waive that. And that's going to create a customer that feels really valued. Oh,
right.
I know you normally charge that, but boy, they really value my business. They value this relationship. They're going to waive that for me, you know? And so, because another thing that comes up is this whole idea of, you know, I've heard people talk about the fact, oh, I did all this design and then nobody buys the product and stuff like that. And it's like, well, hold on. So you started doing design before you had the order. And that's, so, you know, I think that's the same part of setting those expectations, Terry. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. And you know, along those lines, here's another, speaking of product, and I come at this primarily from a production floor standard, but when somebody, a sales rep brings in an order, unless everything on that order is complete, it doesn't go on the schedule. And, you know, you talk about sales reps freaking out. Yeah, but they get over it. And guess what? Maybe it wasn't that hard to get all the details for that order, get that artwork right ahead of time. It's pretty easy to take an order and say, oh, I'll get that rest of that later. But then it comes up on the production schedule for this morning. And, oh, guess what? We never quite figured out what color we wanted, or it says blue. Yeah. And every embroiderer, every screen printer, every heat transfer vinyl person, it's like, okay, well, let's just walk over and take a look at blue.
Yeah.
I think I probably got off track on that question, though.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, Jesse earlier said, can we get rid of the Pantone book? Right, you've got the or Eric just commented royal blue and grits his teeth. Yeah, everybody's got a different idea of blue for sure. Real quick, back to the rush charge thing. Todd's got a comment here. I think it's good to share. He charges a percentage fee based on the order, not a flat fee for rush jobs. And I think this is interesting. And I actually really like this, Terry. So let me, because I've had a chance to talk to him and break this down. Because depending on what business you're in, but let's say, you know, you are somebody that's doing digital decorating, so you can do some one-offs and stuff like that. And so you've just, you know, okay, 24-hour rush fee is flat fee of, you know, $10, whatever. Well, when somebody then all of a sudden looks at that and goes, oh, well, you know, I need 100 things, but it's only $10 for me to get it tomorrow. It's like, I don't really need it tomorrow, but it would be cool. And it's only $10, right? So now that scale happens. Yeah. And so I think, you know, this is interesting for the fact that, okay, however much the order is, it's a 5% increase for, you know, an extra day. If it's a this person, you know, and I think if I remember right, Todd can correct me if I'm wrong. I think Todd's like 50% upcharge if you want it tomorrow, a 24-hour turn.
Well, and that's an interesting point. I hadn't really heard that before, but it makes sense because a rush charge for one shirt is certainly going to be a different amount of time for you than a rush to do 100 or 500 garments. So yeah, that's a really interesting point. My rule of thumb has always been, though, I will waive a rush charge if I don't have to pay people overtime to come in and do that work. I don't have to have somebody stay 2 hours late to get it done, and I'm paying them time and a half to do it. So everybody's got their own standard on that, and it depends on your marketplace. It depends on your customers, but it is a rush world, you know, thanks to our good friends at Amazon/Skynet, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But here's the part about it though, Terry, if you don't set up and have those fees to waive, like you said, you know, you set them up to waive them, but if you don't already have that in place, you're going to find that your customers are, you know, basically you're having to pay for their lack of planning.
Exactly right.
And go ahead, Terry.
Well, I was just going to say, and again, Kim, I've told this story before, but I think it's pertinent that Labor Day weekend a couple of years ago, I needed ink for my desktop printer, mm-hmm. and I go on Amazon, and it was Sunday, Labor Day weekend, and it said, "Would you like delivery free delivery today?" And I'm like, well, I don't need it today, but yeah, I want to see that. And then like 4 hours later, knock, knock, knock. There's a little box of cartridges. So I think what you're saying is the customer is kind of the same way. Yeah. What the heck? $10 bucks. Sure.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
I would have paid 20.
Yeah, totally. But because see, we all see things from the inside, right? We see what people are talking about. You know, we get to be in the Facebook groups or be in conversations with folks where we get to complain a little bit about our customers, right? And that's just a constant complaint, though. Oh, you know, I can never get this person to do this, but but they need it tomorrow, kind of thing. It's like, well. Again, this is on you. We got to figure out how we can take responsibility for this. You've got to put those things in place and make that a standard. Now, if you haven't yet, well, you can still do that. You're just going to say, okay, cool. Well, here's the deal. We're getting busier and we're trying to keep up. We really need to make sure that we're getting stuff done on time, kind of spin it so it's works for the customer, right? You're making this change to your business for the customer's benefit, to make sure that you're getting the jobs out on time. And so we're instituting this rush fee. And again, depending on the relationship and the customer and all the other stuff, it's something to waive. It's not really you're not instituting this to be a profit center. You're instituting this to make it a way to control your own schedule and not let somebody else control the schedule for you. So.
You know, there's the customer's lack of organization, because most of our customers are not professional buyers.
Yeah.
You know, they're professionals at something else. So there's their lack of organization. If you mix that with your own business's lack of organization, then you truly have chaos.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you know, and there are things you can do to help this. There are things you can do. For instance, once you have a track record with your business and somebody came in and they've got a 5K run that they came to you 3 days before the event and wanted t-shirts. Well, you know what? Put that on your calendar. And next year, a month out, reach out to them and say, hey, are you guys doing your 5K again this year? I wanted to reach out so that we could get that on the schedule, you know? And so
for everybody.
Exactly right. And our non-professional buyers like, oh, thank goodness you called me, because I wasn't even thinking about that. And yes, that'll be awesome. And you think that person's going to go out and shop around looking for another decorator? Absolutely not. They're going to go with a person that helped them be successful, made it simple to get this order taken care of. So
totally. All right, Terry. Well, I just skipped the outline altogether, but I guess we should go back to it here. So we keep it moving, right? That's what it's there for, to keep us on track. So here's the next part. And I know I already kind of talked about this a little bit, but let's talk a little bit deeper about this. So we have heard a lot people having challenges when it comes to getting that artwork, right? The explaining what they need when it comes to print ready artwork. You know, when somebody's like, oh yeah, I've got, you know, my logo print ready, you can just take it right off of my website, right? That's what our customers think artwork is, but then the fact that you just can't get it, right? Or whatever. So, how can companies deal with that? Like, you know, okay, you got the order supposedly, but you don't have the artwork. And now all of a sudden the customer's like, well, you know, I need this tomorrow. It's like, well, you gave me the artwork a half hour ago. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, it's now it's take it off my website. It used to be take it off my business card. Remember that?
Yeah. business cards. I remember those.
Yeah. You know, I think part of it is also explaining to the customer that that I can't schedule this order until I have everything. And you know, we have to also have an understanding that, listen, when you ordered these business cards from Vistaprint or wherever you order them from, you sent them something. They didn't take this logo off of your old business card. You sent them artwork. And if you sent them your old business card, they're going to say, give me the artwork that you sent for these business cards. So,
yeah,
you know, a lot of times here's the other thing. And I'm going to go back to uneducated buyers and because that's who we deal with. I mean, most of us are not dealing with a professional buyer. Yeah. So we have to explain step-by-step what we need to accomplish this task. And, you know, early on in the process, artwork is a biggie. The second one is, I don't have all the sizes yet. I don't know. I've got a sign-up sheet going around the office, but I don't have all the sizes yet. That's number two. But,
yeah.
You know, you just have to make sure that your customer understands that this order is not going onto my production floor until I have everything from you. And here's what I need artwork wise. Here's what I need size wise. Do you need me to send you some an array of sizes so that you can have people try shirts on? I can do that for you. Yeah. That sort of thing. So it's really And, you know, Aaron, it's another issue is, again, if you're not very organized in your business, you may not realize until the day before their shirts are due that you look at the order and go, holy crap, they never gave me sizes, which means I never ordered the shirts, which means, you know, I'm hopping in my car and driving over to Sanmar over here in Avondale.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, yeah, I think you've got to really lay that out for us. Great. Gusta has a comment that I think kind of ties in with this too. He says, but the clock doesn't start until they've signed the order form with the okay and the test print if one is necessary, right? And I think that is correct. But if you haven't spelled that out for your customer in advance, they think, and this is where what is basically what's happening. What you think is reality and what they think is reality are two different things, is where problems occur. So the more you can do to make sure that you guys are both working in the same reality, you know, making sure they know that the order doesn't start until everything's signed off. That's when the order time frame starts. And my time frame is whatever your normal turnaround time is. And then, okay, cool. Now we can get this in our production schedule and you can find out where that's going to land in the 5 to 7 days or whatever it is that your turnaround time is. I mean, even down to the little details of, and I was shocked by this the more I got involved with dealing with people on that end, is to kind of spell out the fact that, so you say, okay, my normal turnaround time is 3 to 5 days. And then, you know, somebody orders on Friday and on Monday they're going, okay, well, it's been 3 days, right? It's like, so you got to go 3 to 5 business days. Holidays aren't included, you know, getting all of those little details in there. And then, I mean, I've even had to go so far as to define what a business day is, right? You know, oh, well, right. Yeah, we're closed on Saturdays and Sundays. And so I think just really being clear and concise about those details up front on your web page, on your documents, any sales documents that you have, order forms, if you have those, wherever, the more upfront you can be about that, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. And unfortunately, too, if the PTO has ordered shirts for an event and that person, and the person who orders t-shirts, by the way, in the PTO, is the last person to show up at the meeting. Mm-hmm. Hey, we assigned you a job to get the t-shirts.
Yeah.
But you know whose fault it is if those shirts don't get delivered on time? And it's because you didn't get sizes till the day before they wanted them. It's your fault. That screen printer. They're the ones who messed this up. It wasn't me. It was those guys.
Yep, so, exactly.
But we have to live with that, I guess.
Exactly. And so just being clear on that, I think, is going to save you a whole lot of hassle and headaches. And
And I get it, right? We've got a lot of really service oriented people in our industry. I mean, you know, that's what we do. We're providing a service, really. We might be decorating something, but it's all about the service,
right?
We're not selling a commodity, so we have to be about the service. And so I think what happens is we think that we have to basically do everything that has to be done, you know, and take care of everything and figure all that out. And, you know, when do you need it and all that stuff? And that's actually the opposite of what you need to be doing. Your service is going to be better if their expectations are met.
Right. And, exactly. And I think
that's what this boils down to is it's not that you have to, you know, turn things around and whenever they need, it's not that you have to have every size and color available. None of those things equate to good service. The thing that equates to good service is what are the expectations that you're setting? And then, you know, what you say, Terry, do good work, deliver on time.
Right. Exactly right.
So,
you mentioned, you know, having the shirts, and that's an issue today. The lack of stock on blank shirts and hats and products. And so, and we all got used to, on demand, we all got used to being able to say, hey, your order's due on Thursday. Get me your numbers by Tuesday. We'll be good to go. And we'd order them. They'd come in the next day and wham, bam. So let's talk a little bit about how do you deal with that situation right now where like fleece, I mean, it's hard to come by. How do companies deal with that? What do you think about that, Aaron?
Yeah. I think that this is obviously timely. You know, it's taking more creativity. But I think the most important thing that needs to happen is to be proactive with this. You know, so we kind of want to, you know, ask for forgiveness. And I don't think that asking for forgiveness is going to work in this case. Obviously, everybody's dealing with this now. You know, it's different across the board, you know, what challenges you're having compared to other people, but yes, across the board, everybody's dealing with supply issues. So can you be proactive? Can you get out in front? Can you get into contact with your best customers and be honest with them about the situation? Printavo had a picture on Instagram the other day that just kind of showed some of the information about the containers that are out of service, you know, versus pre-pandemic and all that other stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, there's heck, you just point them directly to a news article from, you know, one of the major news outlets and saying, okay, so you've seen this on the news and this is a real challenge that we're dealing with. We're having a hard time getting stock. So here's what we know right now. Here's what we can get right now. I know that you normally do this. And so we're probably going to need to get out a little further ahead of it. Can we get the orders coming in? Or like you said, you've got that on the calendar for the 5K coming up in a month. Well, you need to look at your calendar a little further ahead than you normally would now and get out there, right, and be proactive about it. So I think that's the best thing. Be proactive and be honest.
Yeah. You know, Aaron, and this is in all areas of everybody's industry. And this is what I say to customers every day, because they'll say, well, hey, how soon can you ship me that Epson F2100? And my response is, we have them in stock. I could ship it to you tomorrow. Now, let me explain something to you. I say this to every customer. Just because we call a trucking company to come and pick it up doesn't mean they're coming tomorrow. They might come the day after tomorrow. They might come 3 days from now. There aren't enough truck drivers. And so I don't want you to expect it's going to be sitting on our dock. Now, when it gets picked up, I'm not certain. We'll let you know, but I just be aware that there aren't enough truck drivers in America today. And so it might take up to 3 days for this package or for this crate to be picked up. Sure. And on the other end, it might sit in a dock, their dock for a couple of days because they don't necessarily have a driver to bring it to you. So, you know, just be aware that this is the world today. And so it's the same thing, I think, you know, just, and then the customer says, and usually it's like, oh yeah, I already know. Oh yeah.
Yeah, sure. But you know what, Terry, like you said, you're having that conversation with every customer. Yes. I think everybody knows. And I think most of the time, you know, people would know and assume that, but if you don't, the time that you don't say it will be the time that the person's expectations aren't met. So by you setting those expectations up front and being honest about it and sharing what information you have, I think that's really valuable. And I think we all have to do that with these shortages. So
yeah, nobody wants to hear that story after the fact. Well, you said it'd be ready tomorrow, ready to ship tomorrow. Yes, but the truck driver didn't show up for 2 days, and nobody, if you say it on the front end, you know, it's a lot easier to take than hearing it on the back end.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah. So Eric, the awesome producer that he is, he did post a link to that infographic in the comments for both the Facebook and YouTube side. So if you wanted to go check that out, I thought that was interesting. And some really cool conversation went on in the comments too. One of the comments that stood out to me was somebody kind of, you know, and I get it. I think it needs to be an investment from all sides. The vendor, the people, the distributors, you know, what are they doing about it other than telling you that the ocean liners aren't shipping, right? I mean, okay, so what are you going to do about it? And I haven't heard a whole lot about what they're doing about it other than just saying we're not getting product right now. Okay.
Right.
But let's, you know, I want to hear people start also looking for solutions and talking about solutions. One of the comments was, you know, I know it'll be more expensive, but air freighting is, you know, where does that fit into the mix of things? And Nathan Lieber, I think I got it right. He was mentioning that, you know, this is makes a wide open opportunity for disruption for blanks manufacturers in the United States to, you know, make some waves, right? If you can't get the products from overseas, well, it may take a couple extra days, but still not the months that we're waiting. You know, I heard that they feel like this is going to be well into 2022 before you start seeing some relief on the shipping stuff. So anyhow, what are the solutions out there? I know that's not what we're talking about today, but I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, but and you know, I guess the takeaway from this is just talk to your customers right up front, and you know, on like, maybe do you have a second color that you would you'd be open to if we can't get you know, this shade of scarlet that you want, or you know, that sort of thing as well.
Yep. All right, Terry. So I've got a question for you then. So what happens when the expectations are clear, right? We've set all that up front. Everybody's on the same page. And then something happens, right? There's something out of our control. There's an issue where you can no longer meet those expectations of the customer. You know, then what?
Well, the easy thing that people do is wait and hope for the best. you've got to pick up the phone the minute that something happens. You know, I had a situation when I was a production manager where there's a building being built next door, and twice the heavy equipment crushed the gas line coming into the building. I had all gas dryers, so. Oh. So I had to say to customers, hey, listen, we've had an emergency here. Our dryers are down because, you know, this and that. And so our new date is this for your product, but you've got to pick up the phone right now, today, right now, when you find out, and start giving your customer some options, start giving them all the information. And you know what? It's hard to make that phone call, but you know, for the most part, I've had customers who are disappointed, but very appreciative that you gave them a heads up as soon as you could. I mean, this just happened, and I want you to be aware. Yeah. We're doing the best we can to be as close to your expectation as we can, but I want you to be aware. So
yeah, yeah, that's perfect, Terry. I think you hit the nail right on the head. Just like I said, as soon as you can, tell the truth and move on. Like I said, there, yes, disappointment's going to happen, but they'll get over it, right? at a certain level. And then two things about that, actually, Terry. First off, this is for Kim Johnson. Kim, I have actually never heard that gas line story before. All right. So that's a brand new story to me, at least. So I think we've got a win there. So
if it's a new story for you, man, it's a new story.
you might be onto something here. So you really appreciate this. And then secondly, I think we should probably not bring up gas lines anymore, though, for our good friend, Eric. So.
Oh, yeah. Eric's having... Sorry, Eric. I forgot you're having gasoline issues at your house. Eric's had so many plumbing, gas, so many issues with that house. I suggested to him the other day that maybe you need to stop calling professionals and maybe you need to get a shaman, because I think your house is built on some Native American burial ground or something. You are cursed. I think it started on day one when he moved into that new home.
All right. Well, Eric's probably going to hate me for bringing up that on show. In fact, thanks for making that a show topic, but he'll never hear the end of it. And Kim did say he was warned. So, yes, sir. He did not heed your warning until then. So I appreciate that. All right.
You know, I was going to do a screen printing class one day, and Kim's like, don't tell the same stories. I'm like, well, it's a screen printing class. They've never heard these stories. they're all new. This is like you do your comedy, you do all the shows, and then you go on, you know, late night TV and do your act.
There you go. Exactly.
You don't do the act on late night TV and then go out and tell the same jokes.
So. Yeah, totally. All right, Terry. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground. Let's go ahead and close that section up, unless you've got any last thoughts or comments on that.
No, I think it's, you know, Aaron, more than anything, I think it's like, it's just being straight up realistic with your customers is the best way to deal with this. And not answering your phone is not a solution.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome. All right. Well, set those expectations early, make sure that everybody's clear. Don't just make assumptions. And, you know, it's not about just letting the customers dictate everything. That's not going to make you a successful business. Your customers want to know what the expectations are so they can make the best decisions to have the best experience. And I think you'll find actually you get a lot more customers by setting up your business that way than being the other side of that, just like, oh, whatever, whenever, you know, it's not going to be, you're going to have way too many problems and headaches for both you and your customer that will be a good strategy to make that a good strategy. So, all right, Terry,
exactly.
Well, let's jump into five things here and then we can close up the show.
All right. Let's cue the intro.
Cue the intro. Yeah. So you've got this five things. I believe this is you.
I've got five things because, next week, we're going to have Jamar from Impressions Expo talking with us for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then I won't give away the end of the show here, but we are going to be dealing with trade shows. So I was thinking about five things to take with you to a trade show. So number one, walk in with a written plan of who you want to talk to first and check them off. Don't just go wandering around. There's certain people you want to talk to, certain things you want to discuss. So make sure that you have that plan to walk around and speak to all those people first. Then you can wander aimlessly if you choose to. Number two, take a small notepad. You will absolutely forget where you saw it or who you talked to about it. Number three, put a pen in your pocket. Can I borrow your pen is one of the top asked questions of all of us on the other side of the aisle in a trade show booth. Hey, can I borrow your pen? Put one in your pocket. Number four, bring a water bottle, maybe a snack. So if you haven't been to a trade show before, it takes a lot out of you going around, a lot of talking, a lot of information. Number five, bring plenty of your own business cards. I couldn't tell you how many times somebody goes, "Oh, I gave away my last card." I was at an event once, Aaron, where it was a company. It was for a group of companies that one of their products was business cards. And I asked this gentleman for his card and he goes, "I didn't bring any." And I'm like, "Don't you print business cards?" He's like, "Yeah, I forgot mine." So keep it down, man.
Yeah, keep that on the down.
Anyway, that's my five things that you should bring with you to a trade show.
Awesome. All right. Well, that is great, Terry. Great five things. I'm here at the Appliqué Getaway. And in fact, saw Christine Shreve this morning, and she said to tell everybody hello. Oh, sorry, Eric. Thank you. There's my pen, our Success Group pen. I don't know if you can see it real well. I'll hold still. So I've got my pen, Terry. It'll be in my pocket, and I will be ready to go. I saw Christine, and she said to say hello to everybody. And then the next question that I'm supposed to ask is, why aren't you all here? So that's what. All right. Well, Terry, let's see what's coming up. What's on your agenda? The big book of Terry's travels again.
The big book of travels. No longer the big book of good intentions. my complete screen printing business course at Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago, August 21st and 22nd, is completely sold out. So my next Chicago event will be November 6th and 7th. I'll be at the DAC Chicagoland the following week, August 27th. It's a morning seminar, 8:30 to 12, and it is, "Am I Doing This Right? Pro Tips for Screen Printing." So it's for all those people either starting out in screen printing or maybe just want a little refresher and to make sure I'm doing this thing right. We are going to be doing some hands-on printing in that class. So looking forward to that. And watch for all my upcoming events at terrycombs.com. How about you, Aaron?
Awesome. Yeah, so I'm going to be showing up at that that training there in Chicago just with some random question. Like, not about screen printing. Am I doing this right, Terry?
You're welcome to do that, Aaron.
All right. Just real quick before we get to what I've got going on here, Amanda from Printing United, they're obviously gearing up for their big event in October. They're in Orlando, so make sure you're checking that out. But she has a sixth thing for your five things, Terry, and that is comfy shoes. That's
excellent, Amanda.
Bonus tip right there.
You're exactly correct.
Yep. Oh boy, Kim's got some more comments in there for you too, Terry. But we'll leave those for now. All right. So for me, as Terry mentioned at the top of the show, we've just launched this Five Keys program, and we're really excited about it. So if you want to check that out, it's oursuccessgroup.com/5keys. Any questions you have about it, I'm happy to answer them. I think it's a really good program covering those five things Terry mentioned earlier today. As we've also talked about, I am here at the Appliqué Getaway right now. So a little bit later this afternoon, I'm going to be teaching Going from Hobby to Business, the Five Keys to Success. If you guys can see a theme there, right? and then tomorrow I've got another class called Conquering Fear and Live to Tell About It. So it's a class that I love doing, and people kind of look at me sideways when I talk about it. Like, this is a business class, and this is a business class. This is as business owners, we have to do things that are outside of our comfort zone, mm-hmm. and things outside of our comfort zone, those are scary. So how do we conquer that? And then the live to tell about it part just was, we need to live to tell about it. But really the point there is, how do we take that opportunity that we gave ourselves by conquering the fear and then actually turn that into success? What's the process to try something new and actually, even if it doesn't work out, still get value from it? So that's what we'll be talking about tomorrow. I believe that there are some classes that have seats left. I have not had a chance to check in on mine yet, but if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, get on down here to the Sheraton at the DFW right here. In fact, you've probably heard the planes go by a couple times. But there is also online versions of these classes available. So if you go to appliquegetaway.com or the bit.ly link that Eric's got up on screen there, that will get you there. So, and then the other thing coming up for me is DAX Minnesota is going to be happening way sooner than I'm ready for, but we're getting there. So our success group will be in booth 112. And it's a little different timing of the show this year because of everything being compressed to the back end. There was only so many dates available. So it's actually a Tuesday, Wednesday show. So if you're expecting the normal Friday, Saturday DAX show there, don't be surprised. So it's actually, I think, August 3rd and 4th, if that sounds right. The dates aren't in front of me right now, but we will be there. We'll have swag. We'll have shirts for our OSG members. We'll be talking to people about how we can provide them resources to empower them to success. So looking forward to meeting a bunch of people there. And then in about 25 minutes here, Terry, Eric and I will be doing the half. And just 30 minutes, as I mentioned, we don't have an outline or any real plan. We did bring up an idea to talk about, but if you guys want to talk about different stuff, we're all about that. So just an opportunity to engage, have a good time, answer anything. We've covered the gamut over there on the half too. In fact, you've sat in and you guys went all over the place as well. So really, really good time. 30 minutes, always 30 minutes, no matter what. Sometimes we even get cut off in the middle of a sentence. So that has been known to happen. You can check it out at liveosg.com, which will take you over to the Our Success Group YouTube page. Or while you're there on YouTube, you can also search for ericcampbell.com. Make sure you're subscribing to both of those channels. Or on the Facebook side, it's at facebook.com/OurSuccessGroupPro. Or again, you can search for Eric Campbell, E-R-I-C-H, Campbell, to find out what everything else he's got going on. Because speaking of Eric, I'm going to jump into what he's got going on here at 2:30 Mountain Time. That's 3:30 Center of the Universe time. We haven't talked about that yet today, but it's so maybe I'm going to have to stop telling the same stories now too. Jeez, Kim's going to be on top of us here.
This time zone, so it's all about science.
Yeah,
that's we haven't talked about that for a while.
Yeah, it's science. That's true. It is science. All right, so 2:30 Mountain Time. The take up today is Q&A habits for machine embroidery. So focusing on pre-flight, wherein he'll be chatting about quality production habits for digitizers and producers of all kinds. So a little more wide reaching. So you definitely want to get over there and check it out. Go to ericcampbell.com, E-R-I-C-H, Campbell.com. And you can click on the take up tab at the top of the play for the playlist there and go back. Eric, toss in on the banner or in the chat there. What episode's this? You've been really cranking these out and just, I love the persistence, and Eric's one of those guys that gives so much value every time. This is a free opportunity to go learn from Eric, and if you're not taking advantage of this free opportunity, you're totally missing out. So,
because someday he'll charge for this. So
someday
it's your prodding, Aaron.
I will continue to prod him. All right. So Eric also has Understanding Emblems, Digitizing Production Styles and Sales. It's now available as a recorded version, which you can check out at decorators.education/emblems. And then speaking of Minnesota and DAX, you can find Eric teaching a workshop there. It's a nice long opportunity to get to spend some time behind the desk with Eric and just picking his brain. So he'll be teaching Elevate Your Embroidery Digitizing. And that will be happening in Minnesota and in Chicagoland. So you can get details at daxshow.com. And then a little bit later on in the year, you can also check him out at the Impressions Expo Fort Worth event, where he'll be teaching specialty thread, designs, digitizing, and marketing. And he will also be making an appearance on the Elements of Excellence embroidery panel. So finally get your Eric fix again, man. That's cool. All right, Terry. Well, I think we've done it. I think we've put together a nice show here. Good information. Hopefully everybody got a lot out of that. Thank you very much to the regulators for all of their input and being here and tuning in. And I think we've done it, Terry. Let's close the show up.
All right. We also want to thank our show producer, Eric Campbell, for all he does behind the scenes. I think he works twice as hard as the two of us.
Probably both of us combined and still
right. Twice as hard, but
yeah. All right. Well, next week, Terry, and sorry, I'm having a hard time getting to the point on the outline. So I want to get the details right here. Kind of coming together. So we got it coming together. Jamar Lassiter is the content director with Impressions, and he's going to be joining us on the show next week at the start of the show. And we're going to be talking about their upcoming Atlantic City event, their first show since Long Beach last year. And amazing, you know, that it's been that long, but they've been, you know, keeping things going and then lots of things in the works. So we're going to find out all of the new happenings over there from Jamar. And afterwards, Terry and I are going to be having a conversation about interesting things people say to us at trade shows. Now, just to make sure that we're clear here, Terry, this is interesting things people say to us at trade shows during show hours.
Correct.
That's a whole different show that we won't be having about the things that happen later on. So
yeah, because people won't talk to us again if we start saying the things that say after the show.
Exactly. So these are things that we hear while we're in the booth. And so just interesting conversation pieces, get everybody else's take on it and see what where maybe the thinking can be a little bit different. So I'm looking forward to that, Terry.
And I gave one away. Hey, can I borrow your pen? So
we check that one off the list. All right.
Right. Yeah. All right. Until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the two regular guys.
Here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.